Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll be talking about Kevin's Sonata Sport in a little bit. But very pleased to bring in from ESPN.com somebody I have a lot of respect for. Does a great job of covering the Big Ten and college football in general, Adam Rittenberg. Adam, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Oh, good to be with you, Steve.
All right, let's talk about the Michigan situation first of all. Is there anything new out there that people don't know along the way? Because Brady Hoke certainly had to talk to the media enough this week. Is there anything we don't know that might be new?
You know, Dave Brandon, the athletic director, is now speaking out. He gave an interview earlier today to the Michigan Daily, the school paper. And the part that stood out to me, again, was him saying that he didn't know how Brady Hoke found out that Shane Morris had a concussion. And, that Brady Hoke went to that press conference on Monday thinking that it was only an ankle injury. Meanwhile, Dave Brandon was investigating behind the scenes at the time. So there was another, what he called an example of the failure of communication that took place, between the doctors, the trainers, and in this case, the head coach, leaving himself out of it. So, again, it just shows how much of a mess things are that there was suspicion of a concussion, clearly at the AD level, but your head coach trots out there on Monday in a news conference that everyone in the country is going to watch and acts as though he doesn't know there was any sort of concussion issue, which maybe he didn't, but it certainly doesn't look very good for Michigan.
In the NFL, they, of course, have the observer in the box, and they have the power to pull a player out for examination. Northwestern actually has a doctor in the box. Is it possible the Big Ten goes in that direction starting next season?
Yeah, I would think so. Michigan's obviously going to do that going forward. Northwestern does that at home, and they actually, this is the first season that they brought that person on the road with them. So they had that person in the press box at Beaver Stadium last week for the game with Penn State. So I think it's a no-brainer. No pun intended there, but these departments have more than enough money to err on the side of caution as far as head injuries and bring extra staff that whose only job it is to identify a situation like we saw in the game on Saturday. I believe Brady Hoke when he said he was watching the ball, but the fact is somebody should be watching that hit and the quarterback's reaction and him stumbling and needing the offensive lineman to prop himself up. You almost wish the lineman wasn't there, that he would have fallen, because then it was obvious something was wrong and he would have been removed from the game and we wouldn't be talking about this. But somebody needs to see that stumble and then react and make sure that he doesn't take the next step.
I know one of the things that's standard operating procedure of Penn State is that regardless of the injury, whether you have an ankle, an elbow, or a head injury, they take the helmet away until the examination is over with. Is that something others need to consider?
Yeah, I think that all of this needs to be looked at with what you're doing on your sideline. And I would guess most of the schools, Steve, are doing enough. Don't know if they all have this monitor in the press box, which I think is a really important and useful tool that you can have during game days. But I think most schools are doing enough. And Michigan hadn't had any sort of incident like this before and had a very well-regarded athletic training staff and medical staff and so forth. But I do think you have to go the extra mile here to make sure that a situation like this doesn't happen again.
Michigan in general now, the football team itself, we know defensively over the last few years they've struggled anyway. And now, it's not just Luan, but no Schofield on the other side, no Jeremy Gallen. Are you really surprised that it's struggling like this based on the fact that the guys they did lose?
Well, I think you certainly can make that argument, but it also depends on how you look at recruiting rankings. I mean, if Brady Hoke gets fired, Steve, it comes down to the 2012 class, without a doubt. If you look at that class and how highly regarded those guys were and how few of them have actually developed, that's your number one reason to fire Brady Hoke, because those guys didn't get better. you know, so sure, you lose Taylor Lewan and Michael Schofield, and obviously Lewan's a first-round pick, and Schofield's going to the NFL draft, but if you've recruited well, and we've been hearing for years Michigan has, you have guys who can step in, and you have an offensive coordinator, Doug Nussmeier, a scheme, and you have receivers because you're Michigan, and you have running backs because you're Michigan. So, I think there were certainly some holes to fill in the offensive line, but this was supposed to be a much better offense, a much more dynamic offense, and not having the same exact things that we saw last year, and in some ways a worse overall performance so far.
In fact, that would be the first full recruiting class for Brady Hoke. This is supposed to be his signature jump in, right?
Right. I mean, again, you know, we're less patient these days, but a class that comes in 2012 that's as highly regarded as that one should be contributing at a much greater level at this point than that group. I mean, you know, and a lot of them are on defense. And you mentioned the defense, and I don't think that's been the major problem at Michigan, but it's been a very ordinary unit at times. They're just times where you watch them and you're looking for something special, some guy to make a play or to make a series of plays that makes you go, wow. And that hasn't happened there. And you just wonder who of those recruits is going to emerge. Blake Countess has been one who's developed nicely. Obviously, Jabril Preppers has been banged up, and he came in with a lot of accolades. But there are a lot of other guys on that roster that came in with tons of hype who just have not developed at all. And that goes back to the coaching staff.
Yeah, but they have their minus 12 giveaway takeaway. They have one interception in the secondary by Louis Jordan. They have one screen pass interception by Willie Henry, and they've forced one fumble, which they didn't recover. They've got Rutgers this week. Talk about the dynamics of that game and what you're looking for in that one as they play at Rutgers.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it'll be really interesting. Rutgers has played, I think, better than some of us expected. I think the talent level that they have is strong. I had a Big Ten assistant tell me that he watched the Penn State Rutgers game and thought Rutgers had a little bit more talent than Penn State does at this point. Obviously, Penn State's dealing with some numbers issues. So this is a tough game for Michigan against a team with a good defensive line. They've been pressuring quarterbacks, and that's been, as we talked about a moment ago, one of Michigan's major problems. So it's a crucial game for Michigan because I really think this is the season. They say that they're not out of the Big Ten race, and we can laugh at that, but it's true. They haven't lost a division game. They're only 0-1 in the league. But if you go 0-2 with everything that's happened, I think that effectively ends the season for Michigan and basically creates a coaching watch for Brady Hoke of how long it's going to take before they decide to keep him or let him go. So this is it for Michigan. Devin Gardner is the quarterback again. I would expect him to come out and provide a little bit of a spark for the offense. But if it's going to be more of the same of what we've seen the past 3 weeks, it could be another rough night for the Wolverines.
While that's the intriguing game, the best game probably is Michigan State-Nebraska. Your thoughts going in on that, and is that one a game which we should watch thinking that the winner of that is the one that has the best chance of getting to the Final Four if they were to run the table?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Nebraska would be undefeated still. They would be the only Big Ten undefeated team, and they would have a signature win, a win that would be respected nationally. One of the problems when the Big Ten performed so poorly out of conference in the first couple of weeks is that it devalued the conference race, and that it would be hard for a team to get a resume boost for the playoffs just by beating another Big Ten team. But in this case, I think if the Huskers go out to Spartan Stadium, where Michigan State's had a couple of perfect seasons, including last year, they didn't lose a game on their home field, and if Nebraska wins, I think they absolutely deserve to be in the playoff conversation. If Michigan State wins, it's still more of the same. They are in that group now. I think if they run the table, they'll have a pretty good chance to get into the Final Four. But they really can't afford another loss. So there's a ton at stake for both of these teams because I don't know if Nebraska can get in as a one-loss team. I think Michigan State can, but I think the winner of that game certainly has a chance going forward.
Yeah, with that one loss at Oregon, I think that there's enough goodwill as to how they played in three quarters of that game. The Big Ten put out, I'm going to get to Penn State in a second here, but the Big Ten put out a 4-point proposal for student athletes moving forward. Instead of having 1-year scholarships, multi-year scholarships, things like that. One of them is the lifetime scholarship. I don't know what that means. What does that mean when you've talked to people in the Big Ten, Adam, as to what's the definition of lifetime? If I go for 2 years, do that, and I want to come back and go to school for 7 years, the school has to pay for it?
Right. I think what Jim Delaney's point was, and this is not a new thing he's brought up, he brought it up a couple of years ago at the Big Ten Media Days, is that, you know, if an athlete goes pro or has to leave school for personal reasons and wants to come back and finish his or her degree, that the school should cover that, and that promise of an education and graduation when you're recruited should be upheld no matter the circumstances. So that's what that is, and you know it could create some tough situations if say an athlete has to leave school because of criminal reasons or something like that. But I think what he's looking at mostly are those who turn pro or those who maybe can't complete school because of family issues at home and then want to do so at a later date.
And that part I understand. But say, for example, you go to school for 3 years and then you go pro and you need a couple more years. Okay, I understand that. But what if you come back and you've gone for 3 years and then you come back and it takes you 4 years? That means the school ends up paying for seven?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think some of it has to be refined. I think that you would probably be on a plan where it wouldn't take you 4 years if you already completed three. You'd obviously be a part-time student. I don't know many students that need 4 years to do one if they're full-time. So I think some of those details certainly would need to be worked out. But I think that the general spirit of this is to provide, a scholarship that can be completed up to graduation for any Big Ten athlete.
Yeah, that's the part I'm going to have to see redefined, because you change majors, and if you do, that means you have to start over again. Penn State now, 4-1. Everyone knew, even if they were 5-0, Adam, I would have told you straight out they needed the bye week, even if they were 5-0. What's your thoughts on what James Franklin has been able to put together so far?
Right. Yeah, I think he's held it together for at least the first 4 weeks. You know, last week they were exposed. Easily could have lost that game by more points than they did. I think Bob Stoops has done a heck of a job with the defense. They're looking like a Penn State defense again. And, you know, unfortunately, the offensive line is an area where you just can't hide. And if you can't run the ball, it just limits you so much. And I think the only concern I have with Penn State is whether, if teams continue to expose them up front, A, will Christian Hackenberg, get hurt? And obviously none of us hope that's the case. And B, will it get into his head at all? And will it stifle his development having to run an offense like this where so much of it's on his shoulders? It seems like the decision making isn't as quick as it needs to be. I obviously had some mistakes later in that game against Northwestern. So it's kind of a tough spot for him, but if he can ride it out and Penn State can ride it out, I think this season they certainly could win just 7 or 8 games. And then with the recruits coming in and the depth on its way up again, they should be in pretty good shape for 2015.
All right. It's early returns. You're stationed in the Chicago area. So, I mean, you can give us not just a Midwest, but even a Western end of the conference viewpoint. It's only early returns. But have you sensed acceptance of Rutgers and Maryland in this thing? Because obviously in the field, the two can play.
Not quite. I think there still needs to be a little bit more shown as they get into Big Ten play. I think part of it is Big Ten fans going out to those stadiums and seeing what it's like there, seeing their team going against Rutgers in Maryland. I think it's important. I mean, a big win for the new members. Ohio State traveling to Maryland, Maryland's first sellout they announced earlier today since 2008. Rutgers announcing a sellout for Michigan. They obviously had a pretty electric atmosphere for Penn State a few weeks ago. So I think there's a little bit more time before full acceptance sets in, but if we're looking at a Big Ten, East, where Rutgers and Maryland finish in the top half, with all the talk going in about Michigan State and Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan, I think you have to say, okay, these guys are able to hold their own at least for a year. And I think Maryland especially is a team with some of the explosive weapons they have, and so far they've been relatively healthy, although C.J. Brown, their quarterback, is kind of in doubt for this week's game. I think they certainly can make some noise going forward in the East Division.
Adam, it's always an absolute pleasure. Thanks a lot for carving out a few minutes today, because I always enjoy the talks.
Okay, anytime. Thanks for having me on.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. always one of our go-to guys, without a doubt. We always thank him for being a part of this and giving us valuable insight. News bottom of the hour. Kevin will then come back and give 20 consecutive minutes of an anti-Todd Haley rant.
I'm okay until this week. If we can't win this week, then I might take you up on that.
We?
That's right. We. I say we because I paid for part of that team with all the crap I have at my house.
The only time I say we is when I'm saying something in French and I want to say yes.
That's fine. I'm a part of this team. I spent money for this team. They owe me.
I talked to Dan Rooney when I was in Ireland.
He doesn't have the same feeling?
How much do you owe Kevin Herr? He said, who's Kevin Herr?
I'm just happy he knows who I am right now.
Seem to ignore it quickly.
You patiently waited through the winter, spring, and summer for the pre-owned blowout sale of the year.
Well, your wait is over.
Sunbury Motor Company has annihilated the pricing of their entire pre-owned inventory. Save up to $6,000 off Carfax recommended pricing on over 350 used vehicles on one site. Go to www.sunburymotors.com to see everything you need to know about your next pre-owned vehicle. Look for Jeeps, Toyotas, Nissans, Hondas. Virtually any make is on sunburymotors.com. 350 vehicles, all priced lower than comparable models elsewhere. Value your trade on sunburymotors.com. Get pre-approved on sunburymotors.com. Or just show up to claim your savings on your next pre-owned vehicle. Sunbury Motors has 99 years of selling quality pre-owned vehicles. That's sunburymotors.com. Hurry before someone else gets your savings.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. We're here in the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors K-Works 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Remember during the summer we talked about the AT&T merger and also the DirecTV negotiations. And we had Chris Ciacci on. Well, Chris is going to rejoin us because they have reached a deal. Chris, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. So the way I understand it is AT&T can now go forward with this after this deal. It averages about $1.5 billion a year. This is an 8-year deal. What are the particulars?
Well, you kind of hit it on the head there. I mean, it's a big deal for DirecTV. It'll allow them to keep Sunday Ticket, which they've used to kind of as a hook to bring in subscribers for the service. And ultimately, assuming the regulatory environment, you know, in Washington lets this AT&T DirecTV deal go through, then you see the two of those companies merge up. And they become even more powerful, and the NFL gets another $12 billion in its pockets over the next 8 years. So it seems like it's a big deal for everybody.
Yeah, it does. I think this ends up being, what, a $49 billion merger? I mean, something like that.
Yeah. It was, you know, to the tune of around $48 or $49 billion when the deal was announced. And that was, you know, partially dependent upon stock price. So that's always going to fluctuate. But, yeah, it's a really big deal for both DirecTV and AT&T. AT&T continues to build out their television business, where they've kind of lagged behind Verizon, Comcast, and some of the other major cable companies. And DirecTV can add other features that AT&T has. You know, they can bundle it with cell phones and tablets and data plans and things like that. So it's really a good deal for both AT&T and DirecTV.
What were the NFL's options outside of DirecTV?
Roger Goodell had kind of flirted with going to the internet for Sunday Ticket. There were rumors last year, and actually it was proven to be correct, that he met with Google's CEO about bringing Sunday Ticket to YouTube, but Google wound up passing on that. There was always the rumor that they would go to Apple, maybe a Microsoft, you know, maybe put Sunday Ticket on Xbox or Apple TV. Because these tech companies have tons of cash that they can throw at the NFL, and there's no better content to have than live content, and no better content than the NFL. But I really could never see him leaving Sunday Ticket or DirecTV because they have such an they've had such a long deal. They've been on DirecTV for close to a decade now, and DirecTV really needed them because they needed to get this done for the AT&T merger to go through. So you knew they were going to pony up, and it puts a little bit less heat on Goodell because what we've seen over the past couple of weeks with the Ray Rice situation, the Adrian Peterson situation, and Greg Hardy situation, he continues to show that he will continue to make money for the 32 NFL owners, and this is a great way for him to show that he might not handle his press release or the press in the most positive way, but he continues to line their pockets, and he's a great businessman and negotiator. So it puts a little bit less heat on him, and it continues to build the NFL as the number one brand in all sports.
Something you alluded to in one of your answers, Chris, dealt with DirecTV being able to expand its right to stream NFL Sunday Ticket live on mobile devices and also broadband. The importance of that expansion to the DirecTV brand.
It's huge. They announced over the summer that you can actually get Sunday Ticket without having a DirecTV subscription, and you can pay different price points to view it on your laptop or your phone and tablets or even your video game system. And that's done because they know that that's a huge hook for them and they can upsell on that. So it's really, really crucial for them. I've talked to analysts, on Wall Street and some people and some sources, and they don't make a whole heck of a lot of money on Sunday Ticket, but what they use it as is a hook to upsell additional services. So, the merger and the deal with AT&T will allow the combined company to continue to sell to those subscribers because, let's face it, Steve, those subscribers are some of the wealthier people in the country, and if they can sell them additional services, then that puts additional revenue in the combined company's pocket.
This is Chris Siaccia. He's the technology editor for TheStreet.com as they confirm the deal between DirecTV and the NFL, an 8-year deal that will end up being $12 billion for the National Football League to be distributed among their partners. Thursday Night Football. The games haven't been great, but the ratings, Chris, look like they have been what the NFL hoped for.
Yeah, and it's funny because you had the negative press a couple weeks back with Ray Rice and the awful press conference that Goodell put on, and everybody kind of threw him under the bus, with places like ESPN, outright calling him a liar. But it hasn't affected the ratings. Some of the Thursday games have actually been some of the better games. I mean, we saw, last week, I think that was one of the highest Thursday rated games that the NFL's had. Last year, right. The quality of the games was kind of subpar, but, so far, it's still early in the year, but, they've been some of the higher rated games, and we'll see what happens tonight with the Green Bay-Minnesota game, and that's particularly of interest because of a lack of Adrian Peterson, and I'm sure the announcers and everyone will be focusing on that. But, it seems to be working out for Goodell and the NFL right now.
Something tells me they're going to make a quick transition to Aaron Rodgers and Teddy Bridgewater. So I think that'll happen. Something tells me that'll be a quick transition. But Thursday night, the deal with CBS, is it just a one-year deal, Chris?
Yeah, for right now, it's a one-year deal. But I'm sure CBS and their CEO, Les Moonves, would love to extend that deal. I think CBS paid around $300 million for the retransmission rights. So that's another $300 million or so that's going to potentially wind its way up into, the NFL's pockets. The ratings on CBS, are exceptionally strong. So I can't see this being not more than a one-year deal. I know that the NFL and CBS wanted to view this as an experiment, and so far this experiment's going pretty strong for both parties.
It's 8 games, and then the final 8 will be on NFL Network. When you've talked to people, is a 16 or 17 week schedule on the table? Because obviously that would bring with it more cash.
That's a really good question, and it's kind of unclear right now because the NFL does have its own network, the NFL Network, and they want to continue to build the ratings up for that. I mean, that's, again, that's a cable channel, and that's another source of revenue. So, I mean, it's anybody's guess as to whether they split the 16-game season next year, or if it, you know, there's some sort of different arrangement. But it seems to be working out where CBS will get half, and then the NFL Network will get half. So I suspect if they do re-up, it's probably something very similar to what we're seeing right now.
The other part, too, a lot of people don't realize, is that on an every-week basis, Monday Night Football continues to be the number one rated cable show as well. And ESPN's going to end up getting a playoff game out of this thing. Is that contract, how deep is that contract entrenched, Chris?
I can't see the NFL leaving ESPN or ESPN letting them walk away to go to NBC or CBS or Fox or something, you know, or even ABC, which Walt Disney owns, as well as ESPN. I mean, ESPN is paying ungodly amounts of money to the NFL. I forget the number. I think it's to the tune of, you know, somewhere around $6 or $7 billion, but it's a pretty hefty number. So they've shown that, you know, live sports and football is really the be-all, end-all when it comes to ratings. And you're right, it's just a ratings juggernaut. I mean, even if you have a game like Monday night where the Patriots got blown out against the Chiefs, it's still the highest-rated thing on TV on Monday night. And I can't see Walt Disney and ESPN letting them walk away that easily.
The next two major contracts up, Chris, will be the NBA contract and the Big Ten contract. All the other conferences have settled their contracts, including the SEC with the SEC Network. I'll break this into a couple different parts. Let's start with the SEC Network. What have the people at thestreet.com heard about the launch of that? How successful has it been?
You really haven't heard a whole lot on it, but I suspect, you know, when we hear from Disney's third quarter earnings, they'll probably provide a little bit of an update on how well that's going. I haven't seen, you know, a whole lot of shift and change in how it's promoted and how it's marketed versus what it's been in the past. But, I mean, that's just my own anecdote and just right. What I've talked to, you know, people on Wall Street. But I'm sure, you know, Disney will have some kind of positive spin on it.
What kind of number could the NBA, led by LeBron James, command in its new contract, and how split might it be?
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, you could see the NBA probably get upwards of, you know, probably $1 billion in their next deals.
Wow.
I mean, the NBA has continued a little bit of that. David Stern, and a pretty remarkable job, and I would suspect that he will continue to do right by his owners as Goodell has done for the NFL owners.
Then the next major one is going to be the Big Ten contract, which right now each Big Ten school gets about $30 million a year. I think it goes up to $34 million in the final year of the deal. Some are saying they could get $44.5 million per. How much does the Rutgers, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, Baltimore, Washington component play into the Big Ten?
It's huge, and that's part of the reason why Rutgers joined the Big Ten, is because this market and, you know, the Maryland D.C. market are so incredibly powerful when it comes to advertising dollars. Everybody wants to be in the New York market, and same thing with D.C. I mean, it's the nation's capital, and New York is pretty much the media capital of the world. So, you know, getting those kinds of schools, Maryland Rutgers. Into the Big Ten, you know, that's incredibly important, because when all is said and done, it's all about advertising dollars and ratings. And if people in New York aren't interested, you know, watching college football, then you can't see a reason to pay $44.5 million a year for television rights. So you have to get something that's a hook for the New York market, and Rutgers is the biggest hook for that market.
Chris Siaccia, technology editor for TheStreet.com. They're the ones that broke the story on DirecTV re-upping with the NFL for 8 years at $1.5 billion a year. Chris, thanks so much for the time and the great information.
Appreciate it.
Chris Siaccia, he is, again, the technology editor for TheStreet.com. They did a great job on that story. $1.5 billion a year with the NFL for 8 years. It's a $12 billion deal as the rich get richer. As we come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Thanks to Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, and Chris Siaccia from TheStreet.com, talking about the Big Ten and then talking about media. DirecTV, good news for everyone that has DirecTV, that is now settled and set. And, you know, you got your Sunday ticket back. Now you can watch all of Todd Haley's plays no matter where you are.
The good ones and the bad ones.
You're just a bitter guy, okay? You're just a bitter, bitter soul. I mean, really.
I have a question.
You do
for
know that, don't you?
Yeah, well, I've learned to accept it. I'm all right with it. I do have a question for you. Now, in watching part, and not the whole game, but watching part of the Pirates game last night, it appeared to me, being the average fan, that Clint Hurdle thought that was a best-of-five series. It was just strange that when your pitcher gets in trouble early,
Kevin,
that you didn't
Kevin,
pull the hook right away.
Kevin.
What?
Kevin, exactly where were the Pirates going to win that game?
I don't know. Quite frankly, I don't know.
Kevin, okay? The dude went 9 innings. The only thing you could have hoped for is that whatever he did kept it scoreless
all
going
right.
to the 10th.
But you don't know that in the third and fourth inning that he's going to go 9 innings. You know he's pitching really well, but there's still hope.
I had the same question brought up to me today by somebody else. I looked at him. I said, look, what you're hoping for with the bases loaded is that it's the fourth inning that you get yourself a ground ball double play, give up a run, and then you work your way out of it. Okay? One pitch was a grand slam. Okay? You're not going to take him out there. Why do you take him out with the bases loaded? Okay, when you've got a sinker ball, a guy throws a sinker ball changeup that could induce a ground ball double play. What are your options there?
I honestly I can't tell you because I haven't followed the Pirates too much, so I don't know what he would do.
It wasn't as if, okay? It was not as if he looked out there, and all of a sudden, they were able to get 4 runs on 6 hits. Okay? They got 4 runs on 1 swing.
I don't know.
It
just seems that he was in there for an awful long time for a guy who really didn't seem to hit a whole lot of his marks. At least that's what I thought, anyway. Maybe I'm wrong.
He gave up 4 runs on 1 swing.
I get that, but it's not... I mean, you could see he was not at his full potential. That's
saying. He's a fourth or fifth starter at best. Okay, I got it. But exactly, okay, where were you going to win this game? In the 10th and 11th inning against their bullpen? Because you weren't going to win it in regulation. They weren't even close to getting a good hit last night. They had 4 hits in the game last night.
Yes,
none
that's
of
very
them.
True.
None of them. Hard hit. Zero. Nada. Not good. Not close. Hey, this is why. Why do you think I concentrated all of my questions on Bumgarner with our guests this week? Why was... Okay, ask yourself why I did that.
Why did you do that? I asked myself. Myself didn't know the answer.
Because I knew he was the dominant personality in the game. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's pitched in 2 World Series and won. Do you think he gives a darn that he's going to be in Pittsburgh pitching a playoff game? He didn't care. He didn't care. I mean, you know, we're going to intimidate him. No, you're not. He's actually going to look at you and go, hey, thanks for coming.
All right, let me ask you this, because I've heard a lot of this from and you can answer it next hour, from a lot of Pittsburgh fans over the last few days. Did he make the wrong decisions in pitch rotation leading up to this?
Absolutely not. The Giants had the easy decision. They were out of it. Right? He played to win, and actually this validates why he played the way he did. Because it was one and done. He was trying to avoid one and done and win the division. To make it a best out of five. That's why you want to win the division. That's why you play to win the division. This actually does the opposite. It validates what he was trying to do. It doesn't matter who he pitched last night, Kev. Hey, they weren't going to hit that guy. Again, they still haven't scored against him.
For news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.